be seven. I will always be confused when we have church on Sunday afternoon. I'll call it morning and night, but that's okay. Amen. This is a wonderful, wonderful prophecy in Ezekiel 47. There are many these Old Testament prophets who prophesied concerning Jesus. We call them messianic prophecies because they prophesied hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years before Jesus ever came. But yet they foretold his coming. Miraculously, they prophesied that he was coming and all that he was going to do in detail. The work of salvation and all the wonderful things that he was going to do was foretold so many times over and over again. In this scripture in Ezekiel 47, it is a vision that Ezekiel had. The Lord revealed to him and showed him this wonderful vision of a river. And let's read about it here in 47 and verse number 1. Afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. Behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And as he brought me through the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters to the knees. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And now when he had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come hither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Praise God. What an amazing prophecy. Now this river was a picture of the coming of Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit, the beginning of the church, and the river that God was going to send when he poured out his Spirit upon the church and equipped the church to be what it needed to be. And I think it's a wonderful thing just to give thought to the fact that God will provide rivers of water in dry places. Rivers of water in dry places. Notice that in the text that we read, it says that it will issue out, this is verse 8, toward the east country and go down into the desert and then go into the sea. This river would flow into the desert and then flow on out into the sea. Amen. What a wonderful picture that is of God sending the river of his power and of his salvation and of his Spirit into a world that is dark and desperately in need of the water. The water is always a type of Christ and that which is alive, the things of the Spirit. All through the Scripture, water is a type of the Spirit. It's a type of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Another Scripture that I'll call your attention to is Isaiah 32, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness." This is Isaiah saying 800 years before, just like Ezekiel saw. And he's seeing the king, the Messiah, Jesus, that's going to step on the scene. And he says, "And a man," this is verse 2 of chapter 32, "a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind." This man that he's prophesying about is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "He shall be a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place." Praise God. That's what Jesus has brought into the world. By the power of the gospel, by the power of the Spirit of God, he has brought life and hope. That river that Ezekiel saw in that vision was a river that flowed, and it says everywhere that the river flowed, there was life. Even into the desert. It flowed into the desert. There's a scripture that talks about "and streams in the desert." There's a book called Streams in the Desert, a devotional book. Some of you may have a copy of it. And that is just describing the fact that God sends the water of the Spirit of God into dry places. I think we all know that we really need the Spirit of God in a very dry and a barren time in our land, in our country, in our world, in our country. I know that it seems like that there are, you know, a lot of religious people, a lot of church-going people, but the fact of the matter is church attendance nationwide is in the decline. And churches are closing, and people are losing interest in the things of God, especially the younger generation, the millennials, they call them, that 30 and down. They are losing their interest in the things of God. Just too busy, just too distracted, just too interested in a lot of other things. And so there's a real dryness. But at the same time, I'm convinced there's a real hunger, a real thirst and a desire for something that is genuine, something that is real. You know, the longing, the psalmist David described this longing whenever he was on the run from Saul, who wanted to kill him. He was on the run, and he was in the wilderness, on the run, and he says in Psalm 63, "Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is." That's what a desert is. That's what a dry place is. No water. No move of the Spirit, no voice of the Spirit, no working of the Spirit, no power of the gospel going forth. That's a dry place. And this nation is in real need of the river of God's Spirit to flow. Amen. Do you know that it was in the early 1800s that they conducted every Sunday, they had worship services in the halls of Congress on the Lord's Day. They had church in the halls of Congress. I know they scream today about separation of church and state, but it's not really genuine. It's really a spirit that hates God. It hates the things of God. It resists the things of God. That spirit of separation of church and state really is not the history of America. The American history is a history of worship and following God, and even building the nation on the foundation of the Word of God. Even the laws of our land were established and built upon the principles of the Word of God. You walk into the halls of Congress, you walk into the Supreme Court, any of those federal buildings in Washington, D.C., and all over the walls are numerous scriptures that are there. If they were going to separate us from church and state, they would have to tear down all those buildings. Or at the least, they'd have to completely change them and refurbish them. And I know that's what the enemy would love to do. Is, by the way, there are two new congressmen that are Muslim that put their hand on the Quran whenever they were sworn in to be congresspeople. You can be sure that they're going on with their religious activity without anybody stopping them and what they are doing. But what we are experiencing in our country is a dryness, a dry spiritual desert in our land. And we need the flood. We need the rain. We need the flowing of God's Spirit into the halls of government. Not welcome there, but let me tell you, when the river and the flood tide of the river of revival flows, it doesn't matter what that the enemy tries to do to stop what God is doing. He's not going to be able to stop it. When God is really pouring his Spirit out, revivals in the history of this country, when you read about the awakenings and the great revivals of this country, this is a country that has experienced moves of God, even great leaders in our country that would attend meetings listening to people like Whitfield preach, Wesley preach. They would go to their meetings because there was such a hunger for the things of God. I'm talking about people in Congress, people in leadership that would go to hear these revivalists in the early history of our country. May not be welcome, but we need revival. We need the halls of government are dry spiritually. It's a dry place. Many businesses across this country, they don't want anything to do with God. They want to keep him out of it. They don't want to give God any place at all in businesses. Thank God for businesses and corporations that serve God, love God, and honor God. I don't know about you, but I've been into Hobby Lobby, and by the time I left, I kind of felt like I'd been to church. You walk through Hobby Lobby, and they're playing all these songs that glorify God, and there's all these. I know everything in there isn't spiritual, but there's so much in there that they do to honor God, and even letting their people off work on the Lord's Day. And closing down at a certain hour in the evening so that they can spend time with their families. And God has honored that. He's honored that. And of course, we all know that Chick-fil-A closes down on Sunday. And God has honored them because that business has had a place for God and have honored the Lord. And there are other businesses that are doing the same kind of thing. But for the most part, in our country, God has no place. It's a dry and a barren land, a dry and a barren place. The colleges and universities of our country is a dry and a barren place. They are almost all bastions of liberalism and socialism and a hatred for God, hatred for the principles of righteousness. And they are dry, dry places. And there's such a need for God. God isn't welcome, or the Word of God isn't welcome. All of these dry places, all of these institutions in the public are dry. Do you understand with me today that there are church groups and religious groups all across this country, and that it's just dry, dry. No voice from God, no move of God, nobody being saved, no one being healed, no move of the Spirit, no voice of the Spirit of God. Dry. If we'll admit it, we've had a few seasons right here at First Pentecostal Church where we've been pretty dry too. Amen. Amen. And you know why? The church can be dry sometimes because we're dry. We're dry. We're barren. We need help from the Lord. We need the Spirit of God to be poured out upon us. And we need God to be at work in our lives. Well, why is this really all that important? Well, it's important because it's in a dry spiritual environment where the devil can work. The Bible says, Matthew 12 and 43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. You say, what does that mean? Well, when you read that verse, I run references on it. I looked it up. A dry place is a place without water. It's just that simple. It's a place without water. Where there is the water of the Spirit, where there is the water of the presence of God, then the enemy is not going to have freedom and liberty to work. Whenever there's a move of God, the enemy is not going to be able to come in and work against you and me through demon forces and the devil's attack against us. He is going to be limited. If there is a move of God going on in your life, then you can be sure the enemy is not going to be able to do very much with you. Amen. Dry places. No water. No water. No work of the Spirit. No voice of the Spirit. He walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Let me tell you, the enemy has no place in your life. If you're born again, if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're walking with the Lord, the enemy has no business in your life. Amen. Amen. So don't listen to his voice. Don't pay attention to him. Don't allow him to have any time or liberty to gain access to your life. Understand that if you are filled with the Spirit of God and the things of God, he is not going to be able to win the battle against you. Mark chapter 5 is the story of Jesus going across the sea, going over to the land of the Gadarenes. And remember, when he got there, there met him a man who lived in the tombs who was possessed of the devil. And he lived there, and the Bible says that he would cry, he would cut himself, he was miserable. But no one could restrain him. No one could stop him. Everyone was fearful of him. He dwelt in the tombs. That was his life, to live in that kind of an awful place. Until Jesus came on the scene. When Jesus came, then he immediately commanded, come out of that man. Delivered him from that demon, that legion of demons, probably 2,000 demons. What is your name? This is verse 9. What is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Isn't that amazing that the devil understood, and he was interested and concerned about geography and location? Don't send us out of the country. Don't send us. Let us make the choice as to where we are going to go. Let us make the choice. And besought them that he would not send them out of the country. They understood, those demon forces understood, that Jesus had power and authority over them. And it says that now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now, more than likely, those demon voices wanted to go into the swine so that they could direct those swine into the wilderness, because that's where they wanted to be, in dry places. That's where they wanted to be, in dry places. The devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were choked in the sea. Praise God. Now the enemy, you say, well, everything in the Bible has an important lesson for us. Everything. It's not just a story. And everything that happened, it's not just a part of the story. It has a spiritual application and a spiritual truth. No doubt, those swine, those demons wanted to take those swine into the wilderness and into a dry place, but instead, those swine ran them into the sea and drowned them in the sea. You understand that the enemy doesn't have any power or authority, and he cannot coexist if there is a work and a move of the Spirit and a voice of the Spirit of God, that the enemy is not going to be able to have freedom and liberty to work against you. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be living in victory over all the lies and all of the effort of the enemy to try to destroy what God is wanting to do. Amen. The enemy is a liar. He's a deceiver. He wants to rob you and destroy your life. He wants to destroy you with all various types of circumstances in your life. Troubles and problems and decisions that you make, and even addictions and things that have such a stronghold in your life. The enemy wants to destroy you, but it is God that has provided freedom and liberty. Psalm 68 and 6, it says, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The enemy, that's the place that we live in today. Even in London, Kentucky, there's a shift in our community over the last few years. A shift moving us in a direction that, in my opinion, doesn't honor the Lord. It's not pleasing the Lord. Move in a direction away from God. What can we do about that? Well, there has to be a voice of the Holy Spirit. There has to be a work of the Spirit of God. There has to be that river flowing that we were talking about, a river flowing right in the middle of this dry land. Amen. That's why we're praying and fasting. That's why we're calling upon the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, pour your Spirit out at this location, because this is a dry and a barren place that desperately needs a genuine move of the Spirit of God. Amen. That vision that Ezekiel saw was a vision of a river. Vision of a river. He talked about the same river in John chapter 7, verse 37. The last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory to God. This he spoke of the Spirit of God at work in your life, in my life, in our church collectively, in the kingdom of God. God wants to move mightily among every one of us. Now, this river that flowed in Ezekiel, the vision that he had, notice that it flowed out of the throne of God. Its source is in God. Amen. He is the source. He is the baptizer. He is the one that provides us the spiritual blessing and spiritual power that we need. It flows out of the throne of God. And the course of it, it says that it went by the way of the altar. It goes by the way of the altar. The altar is that place where sacrifices are made. And for you and me, the altar is the place where we commit our life. We put our life on the altar. We sell out to God and we seek the Lord with our whole heart. So the river flowed out of the throne of God. It went by the altar, that place of dedication and commitment to the Lord. And then the force of it was that it was growing progressively, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, as you pursue the things of the Lord. That's how God wants to work among us. And we need to understand, take this by faith and believe what I'm saying here today, because God begins the work, and it is the beginning of the work of the Spirit, but there's always more. There's always more. It's always a progressive work of the Spirit of God that he wants to do in our lives. I've told you before about growing up out in Oklahoma near the Arkansas River. That's really wide. But if you go up in northern Colorado, and the Arkansas River starts up in northern Colorado, and it's narrow enough up there that you can literally run and jump across it. But when it gets down into, flows down through Colorado and across Kansas and into Oklahoma and down into Arkansas and all the way down through Mississippi and empties out down there in the Gulf of Mississippi, let me tell you, it's getting wider and wider and wider and wider as it flows. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. That's how revival works. And we must believe that God wants to work in us right now. And don't despise the small things that God is doing for you. Don't despise the small ways that he's working and moving in our church. It's just the beginning of what God is wanting to do. Did you notice in the vision that Ezekiel had that it started off that the man stepped out and measured it? First of all, it was ankle deep. It was first of all just ankle deep. When it was ankle deep, then that's just when you're wading in water, you're just getting started. You're just kind of starting off. Some folks, you know, they never get any deeper than they just wade around in the shallow end of the water. But that's where it starts. It starts at the beginning. And I just encourage you here today, if you haven't experienced the voice of the Spirit, if you're not experiencing the touch of God, step in, even if it's just ankle deep. Get started in the things that God has for you in the realm of the Spirit of God. Jump in, first of all, ankle deep. That's the start of your walk with the Lord. And then knee deep. That's really the place where you're learning how your knee, maybe even symbolic of prayer, and you're learning how to really depend upon the Lord and trust God to do some wonderful things in your life as you go in ankle deep and get started. Then you go in knee deep. Some folks say they don't want to really go in too far serving the Lord because they're afraid that someone might think they're fanatical or something. But God is looking for people who are willing to give themselves wholeheartedly, 100% to the Lord. And then they measured again. It was up to their loins. You see, when you're up to your loins, that describes your strength. The strength. And when you're out that deep in the water, that there's more of you hidden by the water than is seen. More is below the water than is above the water when you get in that deep. And I just believe that's exactly what God is doing. He wants us to move out, to step in, and then to take progressive steps, getting in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then finally, it says he measured again. It was waters deep enough to swim in. That just means that then you're totally giving yourself over to the Lord. If it's deep enough to swim in, then you have to realize you are not in control anymore because your feet don't even touch the bottom. If it's deep enough to swim in, you are trusting and you just give yourself to the water. Give yourself. It's really a step of complete surrender. You cease to support yourself and you completely surrender to the Lord. This work of the Spirit is a progressive thing. Amen. So get in ankle deep. Then move on out knee deep. And then loin deep. And then before you know it, as you keep moving in to the things of the Spirit of God, God can really do some mighty wonderful things in your life if you'll trust Him, if you'll believe Him to work in your behalf. There are dry places. Some of you here today, if you'll be honest, you're spiritually in a dry place. You know, you can be right in the big middle of a move of God, a revival, and get dried up spiritually if you don't get in yourself, if you don't pursue the things of God yourself. I believe that God wants to provide for every one of us. Another prophecy from Isaiah 41 in verse 17, it says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, that's what we need in the United States of America. That's what we need in London, Kentucky. That's what we need right here in our own church and our own families and households. We need God to hear our cry. Lord, we're poor, we're thirsty, we're needy. We must have your help. We must have your touch in our life. And then he promises, if you'll pray that kind of prayer, I'll hear your cry and I'll come to your rescue. And I will open up rivers and high places and fountains and valleys and make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That's what God can do. He can make the dry places rivers and pools of water. He can pour out His Spirit and minister. Do you remember in that text in Ezekiel 37 that everywhere it flowed, it first of all, it brought healing. Wherever it flowed, it brought fruitfulness. You understand, when you study civilization, you can go back to the beginning of recorded history and civilizations in our world. And one of the most common things that you'll take note of is that most cities, most villages would spring up around streams and rivers because those waters provided what they had to have. They needed water to sustain them. They needed water if they were going to be fruitful, if they were going to be able to grow their crops and their fields, and they would use those streams to irrigate their fields and to water their fruit trees, and as a result, the cities could flourish. The cities could survive. That river that flows, everywhere it goes, it brings healing. Everywhere that it flows, it brings life. Everywhere that it flows, it brings life. Glory to God. Don't you agree with me when I say we need some real spiritual life in the United States of America? We really need help from the Lord. We need such a move of God. And let's not limit God to any particular location. Let's understand that God can do anything, and He can move on the hearts of our leaders, even those that are hard-hearted and resistant and unresponsive. God can move upon them. Everywhere that it flows, it flows into the wilderness, it says in Ezekiel. It flows toward the wilderness. When God pours His Spirit out, it's going to go toward the dry and the needy places. Amen. Do you feel like sometimes that you personally are spiritually dry and in need of help? He will hear your cry. He will open up rivers of water, springs of water in a dry and a barren place. Everything that it touched lived. There was life. Everywhere that it touched, there was life. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful thing to think of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ being such an influence in our community, in our region here, Southeast Kentucky. Such an influence that everywhere we go and everybody that we meet, everyone we come in contact with, that they are affected by the life of the Spirit of God that's in us. Hallelujah. Amen. God can work in you because He wants to work through you and cause rivers to flow into some dry, dry places. Amen. What a need. Now, I know it doesn't seem like in the natural we need any water right now. We've been getting plenty of that in the natural. But what we had yesterday is really what we need in the realm of the Spirit. We just need this rain that just keeps coming and keeps soaking and keeps on and keeps on until you don't know what to do with yourself. There's such a great outpouring of God's Spirit. God wants to do that. Hallelujah. He wants to send rivers into dry places. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the promise from Your Word. Lord, that You will pour out Your Spirit even in such a dry spiritual season, Lord. Such a need, Lord, in our nation, in our schools and colleges and universities. Such a need, Lord, all across our land, in government. Such a need in families and homes and marriages. Lord, the need is so great. There's such a dryness, Lord. And Lord, we are thirsty. We are longing. We are desiring, Lord, the rain of Your Spirit, the river of Your Spirit, Lord, to be poured out upon Your people and to be poured out upon our community, Lord. So God, do a work, and Lord, help us to enter into what You are doing, even if we just step in ankle deep, Lord, that we make that first step, and then we just keep progressing, moving into all that you have for us, I pray in Jesus' name. Praise God.